It had hair all over its body other than the face itself.
There are, in fact, four different types of, you know, what we think of as Sasquatch or Bigfoot.
Very wide, pronounced nose. There was also a very ominous odor.
Phase one is to identify opportunities. I walked into a small clearing and less than 10, 15 feet away from this enormous creature, and it scared the living hell out of me. Phase two is conducting investigations both of witnesses and locations. The size of the thing, it was, you know, 4 or 5 feet across the shoulders. Phase three is profiling research areas. What's there, how they move, feeding, things like that. About 8 feet tall, I guessed around 800 pounds. It was massive. I had no idea that anything like that existed. Phase four is create an intercept plan. I decided to shoot in the air to see if maybe it would scare it off. Phase five is the intercept and resolve the issue phase. It didn't do anything, didn't react. And then I heard a noise from my right rear, and from out behind some brush come another one and walked over by the first one. That's when I decided to do what the dog did. I took off running. Welcome to Witness of the Unknown.
Today I'm talking to Tom Carroll and Brandy. Brandy lives near Fort Lewis, Washington. That's an area that's had for many, many years a lot of Sasquatch activity on and around the base, and continues to have activity. So, Brandy, tell us a little bit, first of all, about your knowledge of the subject of Bigfoot, you know, leading up to this point.
I really had no knowledge except for watching Harry and the Hendersons as a kid, and I knew, being from Washington, it was a legend, but I didn't think it was real. So I had no real knowledge of any of it until I watched Finding Bigfoot, and I still at that point thought that it wasn't real, until one night my husband and I heard some very loud wood knocks, and that opened my eyes to the possibility that something, this really could be something. So I started doing some research, and the wood knocks that I heard were so loud. It was wood hitting wood, and it was at 3 a.m., so I knew that there was really no construction or anything going on out there, but it was so loud that it really did, it piqued my interest.
Well, let me ask you now, how long ago did this begin?
That was in spring of 2012. The original wood knocks happened. And then I looked at my area on Google Earth, and I thought, no, there's no way these things would be this close to people. And I mean, I'm surrounded by farmland, and it's rural, but it's not out in the woods by any means. So I kind of dismissed it, and I thought, well, you know, maybe if there was something out there, it was passing through. So for a few years, I didn't record back there. I didn't do anything. I just kind of thought, because nothing really was happening, but I really wasn't listening or looking either.
Right. Now, you said you were only about 7 minutes from the boundary of Fort Lewis, is that right?
Right.
And I guess I'm wondering now, when you first heard these sounds, this wood on wood sound, and you already knew about the show Finding Bigfoot, so that's how you sort of equated one with the other, is that right?
Right. Well, my husband, he said, you know, that sounds like, you know, the wood knocks like they were talking about on that show. And then that's how I kind of put two and two together. I just was startled by the sound. I didn't even think about, you know, anything about Bigfoot at that moment. It took me a little bit to put two and two together.
Now, how did this progress? I mean, what really started getting your attention besides, you know, those initial sounds you heard?
Well, last May, my husband and I were up. We stay up pretty late. Sometimes I'm a night owl. And we were up talking, and our window was cracked just a little bit because it was a warm spring here. And we heard some very loud crunching and cracking, and like the bushes out back. We have a blackberry briar on the land behind our house that's about 100 feet long, probably about 15, 20 feet high. I mean, it's a huge blackberry bush. And we heard all these noises, so we went to the window, and we just heard, like, it sounded like something just like tunneling, barreling through these bushes. The top of the bushes were just like violently shaking, and him and I looked at each other and just couldn't believe it. I mean, we were completely shocked, and I was actually afraid to see. I felt like it was something was going to come out of that bush, and I was freaking out. So that's what really got me thinking, okay, now with those wood knocks and with whatever this is, and it stopped. It, like, when we looked out the window and I started to get upset and talk loud, it stopped. It just stopped. And then when we would quiet down and kind of go back to normal, it would start again. And I mean, it was the bushes were shaking so violently that the tree, there's an evergreen out there, and the bottom limb of the tree, it rests on the blackberry bushes, and that was even moving up and down. I mean, it was unbelievable.
So you had an indication there was something fairly large making this happen, or Did you have any idea?
I know whatever it was large. And what kind of really freaked me out is the land behind my house, it is surrounded by a fence. I don't know exactly how tall, but it's a large fence with barbed wire. So it's not just land that anybody can walk through. I don't think that deers are jumping over the barbed wire fence to, you know, wrestle around in bushes. And I knew it was something big, whatever it was.
So I guess what began happening after that? Was it a series of events that happened, or what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, a lot of weird things. I would hear a lot of noises. I'd hear sounds, something hitting the house here and there. It wasn't every night by any means, but it was, you know, I really opened my eyes to the fact that there is something large out there, so I started paying more attention. I was gardening, and a rock hit me, and my husband heard it, and, you know, he laughed. It wasn't me, because we had made an agreement that we wouldn't, like, ever joke out and say, look, what's that, you know, because we're kind of right. A silly couple. But so we made a promise to each other that if indeed one of us says, you know, what is that, like, to take it seriously. So I knew it wasn't him joking around, throwing things at me while I gardened. And then when I had that rock hit me, it really kind of freaked me out, because I thought, okay, now the wood knocks, the bush is moving, now I'm being hit by pebbles or rocks. And that's when I kind of started to get more serious about monitoring what's going on out there, like recording. I just would record on my iPhone. I wanted to buy trail cams and whatnot, but I thought, no, nobody can catch them on that anyway, so why waste my money? But I did start paying closer attention. I lit up the yard with some floodlights because I don't want this thing in my yard. But that's kind of the time where I started really paying very close attention to what's going on out there.
And was it predominantly at night these things were going on? Now, obviously, you're out in the daytime when the rocks hit you. And was that from a particular direction?
On each side of my house, I have neighbors. And I know that they weren't out doing any work. You know, you can hear these housing developments. The houses are kind of close. But it was from the property behind my house when the rock hit me. And it had to have been in that direction. Okay. And yes, it happens. When I hear the most noises, I've heard wood knocks, rock clinking, things like that. The land behind my house, it is utilized by government workers, but if they do, it's very far and few between that they use the property. And these, like, knocks and bangs are coming 8, 9 at night in the summertime when the sun's going down. I hear a lot of noises back there. And then, yeah, it's nighttime where it really kind of comes alive.
So you start hearing things right around sunset, plus or minus an hour. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then it progresses as the night goes on.
Yeah, usually around midnight. We've got the coyotes back there that, you know, get to yipping and yapping. And but like I said, I do stay up late. There was one night where I was up at 3 a.m. and there was all kind of noises going on back there with the coyotes. And I can't differentiate between what a coyote is sounding like and like per se a Bigfoot, unless it's really very obvious. That's why I kind of got you. I needed you.
Sure. Tom, did you have some points you wanted to bring up or questions?
Sure. I have a few, Brandy. I got to hear the recordings that you made, and I know we're going to talk about that in a bit. But I had a few curious about a couple of things. The first is the property and how it's set up. Is it you're in a suburban kind of a neighborhood where you have neighbors on either side of you, and then it's backed by some woodsy area that's fenced by a high metal fence? Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, I live in a development, a housing development that butts right up against some county property. I don't know the exact acreage, how big it is. I mean, it's a good, chunk of land back there. And then across the street from us is where it's just farmlands, wide open houses with, acreage. There's horses and whatnot. So it's not an area where the developments are just housing developments everywhere. I would consider it country, but still, they're building these housing developments up in the middle of everywhere now. So,
yeah. Now, Brandy, in that property in the back of your place, have you ever gone and walked it during the day?
Well, it has no trespassing signs on it, so you're not supposed to go back there. I will say though that I snuck back there. One day I hopped over the fence to retrieve all of my children's bouncy balls and whatnot from back there. And right behind my place is where the blackberry briar is. And there's no barbed wire like where the residents right here are. They kind of, I guess, separated the land by this blackberry briar. I did follow it down. I snuck around there. And I was kind of creeped out, so I decided to come back. And my kids were in the yard yelling, "Mom, come back. You're not supposed to be back there." So that's as far as I've actually traveled onto the land.
Okay. Have you looked around the exterior or the perimeter? Is there a way that you can take a look and see what feeds into that particular property and how it's bounded?
Yeah, absolutely. On one side of it, I won't say the road, but it's kind of a busy road out here. I've walked the fence line looking for, weird spots, and I can see where coyotes are going in and out. There's barbed wire that, which I kind of thought was interesting. It's pushed down, but no sign of a tree falling on it. And I know that the way they structure these fences, they're supposed to be pretty strong, but there's some breaks in the barbed wire, or bends, I should say. And then, but there's only really one stretch that I can walk without, because on the other sides of it, the other three sides, there's other residents, butting up against from that direction. So.
Okay, so that gives us a really good picture of how that looks back there. I was just curious as you were describing it, but that makes sense to me how you've laid it out. Now, Brandy, have you ever seen bears back there, black bears back there?
No, and if a black bear is climbing this fence with barbed wire, I mean, it's not going under the fence, I know that, because the spots I have seen that, I mean, from what I can see on that one side, the spots I can see where the animals are digging under, it's just big enough for, maybe a cougar, a coyote. I have heard mountain lions out here screaming. They sounded like women being murdered. Like, I told my husband to call 911 until I realized it was an animal. But so I do know that there's a cougar out there. I've heard fox yipping and yapping, and that's why it was kind of hard for me to tell what was what, because these animals get to making these noises, and they sound crazy.
And, even being that close to an urban area, and I know that area pretty well, being from that area, when you're right up next to an area where wildlife is, and there's a lot of wildlife in that area, they'll come right up to those areas because, people are a good source of food, pet food, things like that out.
Well, and I can hear the coyotes. There's a pack here on this side. And when I mean they're right behind my house, I've seen them actually running around out there a couple times, which I thought was cool. I was looking out if you look out my bedroom window, you can see part of the land from being up that high. You can look over into the area before the thicker trees start. But I've seen coyotes running around out there. And but you can hear the one pack on my side, and then you can hear another one responding, another pack of coyotes across the way a bit, and they go back and forth. So I do know there's quite a bit of animals in the area.
Mm-hmm. And the bushes, Brandy, have you seen the shaking of the bushes happen more than a single time?
No, just that time last May. That was the only time that had ever happened. I listen and I don't hear much going on as far as like a lot of branches and stuff like that being broken. And from what I can hear at night, I record as much as I can, but it takes a very long time to listen back through all the audio. So I'm sure I'll find more stuff that I've gotten recorded that I just haven't come across yet.
And Brandy, how are you recording? What sort of method are you using?
I was just using my iPhone to record. And then Will, your friend Milo, he brought me a digital recorder last night. So I had that out tonight. So he did get that over to me.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, Milo's he's an old friend. We've known each other since we were teenagers. And he was along in some of our early Bigfoot hunts, you know, back in the 70s. So, and actually that area... he was there when we went back, and I know, Tom, I've told you about this. We were over in the town of Roy, and a mutual friend had rabbit cages that were torn apart, and nothing else could have done it. I mean, the cages were ripped open from the bottom. It looked like they were, you know, opened by a can opener. So, like I said, that area's got a long, long history of Sasquatch activity around it.
Yeah, Milo, he's a pretty cool guy. I met him last week, and we kind of went down and walked around. There's a park not too far from the house. It's an old, kind of looks like a dog walking park type thing. It's got trails, and it's closed down. But I thought, well, since we can't get into the property behind the house, we should kind of look around the area. So I met him down there, and we stomped around a little bit. But it was really overgrown, so it was uneventful.
Now, you mentioned at one point you've heard rock clacking.
Yeah,
also.
I have.
Tell us about that.
It just sounds, and it has that, the rock clanking I've heard two or three different times, and that's been at sunset, like right around dusk, and it just sounds like rocks being hit together. And I can kind of, when I stand in my backyard, I can tell what direction, for the most part, what noises are coming from, and it always sounds like it's coming from that land behind the house.
That's the county property, right? And I was trying to message Milo to find out. He was telling me, and I could be wrong, I think he said it was around 600 acres in size, that county property. I know he was going to contact the county and see about gaining permission to go on the land, but I don't know that he's got any feedback yet from them.
Yeah, when I talked to him about it, he said he hasn't been, nobody's responded yet, so...
So now, I guess the Tom, did you want to go ahead and delve into the recording?
Sure, if that works for you, Brandy. I sent you all some audio boosted and processed files, and I'll see if it's possible to send them across here as well. But let me send the first one, and we'll see if that works. And then, Brandy, as we're doing this, the first one was the call was, you hear the coyotes yipping. If you recall that, the first one that you sent, the coyotes are yipping in the beginning. And then you hear some dogs join in, it sounds like.
Right.
And then when you're into it, a little over a minute and a half or so, you hear, it sounds like, what did you think that sound sounded like? And then describe what you think happened.
Well, my husband came down and... he came down and said, listen, the coyotes are going crazy. That's what we always say. And I usually record the coyotes because there are so many weird noises that come along with them. So I try to get something recorded. And he came down and said, listen, the coyotes are going crazy. And I opened the kitchen window and I hit record. And I didn't know he was recording upstairs too. Now, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of background on him. He's a believer, but he's not really like into it. He's just, if something cool comes, he's like, oh, okay. He's not into it like I am. Like, I really think that this is like a very interesting subject. But So for him to be recording, I guess I kind of have him on board too, which is great. But so I recorded, and we heard the coyotes. And then when I heard that yell, I was standing in the window. My kids were downstairs with me, so I was kind of talking to them too. I heard something, but I didn't hear the actual as it was happening. But my husband came down and said, what was that after the coyotes? And then when I listened back, I thought, oh, well, that's a noise I heard in the background. Because like I said, I was talking to the boys. And so he heard it. Him and my 10-year-old son actually heard it with his ears. And my little one, he was pretty freaked out. He looked at my husband, my husband said, and he said, what was that? And so I can't say that I really got to hear the yell, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Well, let's try this. I've just stopped downloading it because it's taking too much memory. But I have this on my phone here, Brandy, and I think I can hold it up so that we can take a listen to it. And then I can go back, Will and I can go back later and then put a higher quality recording together so you'll be able to hear that. But let's take the first one that you heard that day. And if you could, there's a few, let's take a listen to it. Are you able to hear that?
Yeah, it's actually coming in pretty good, Tom.
Okay, Brandy, were you able to hear that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So what we hear the coyotes yipping. We hear them yipping away, and then all of a sudden we hear what sounds like some sort of a yell, like a rawr, like that.
Right.
And then it's fairly quick, and then the coyotes stop vocalizing. Is that what you heard as well?
Yeah, and it's not uncommon that they will be yipping like that, and then they just stop, just out of nowhere, they stop. And so I think I've kind of gotten so used to recording them that when I was recording that night, I set the phone down on the window there and kind of was, you know, talking to my kids a little bit. But I think I've just become a little bit desensitized to all the noises but when I did replay it and I heard it, you know, I thought, oh my gosh, there really is something out there. This is unreal.
Now, the second one, after the coyotes are quiet, there's a louder yell.
Right.
It sounds much louder even than the first yell. And then there was a noise that just preceded that sounded like a series of clicks, like brrr, it sounded like that. Do you know what that noise was by any chance?
No, I have no idea. And actually, when I sent Will the recording, I didn't hear the first yell that shut the coyotes up. Like, I couldn't hear that with my recording. Until you enhanced it, and then I really took a listen, and then I thought, wow, there's two yells. I only heard the very loud yell, so I was really surprised to hear that there were two on there.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, the loudest one at the end was very, you know, really quite incredible. And then, but when I heard the first yell that shut the coyotes up, I thought, well, gosh, that shut them right up. They just
stopped. Yeah, they just
right,
stopped
and that's
right
what happened when you, if you have the recording of the wood knock, that's what happened then too. They just shut right up.
Now, did you have, Brandy, on that first recording, you hear them vocalizing and then they shut up. Were you able to hear on the next one any other yells that evening with the slapping on recording number two with the tree knocks or whatever it is, whatever knocks there are? Were you hearing any vocalizations other than the coyotes or the dogs barking?
No, I just heard the coyotes.
Okay.
And that night, my husband, I have to give him credit. Maybe he's into this more than I realize, but he also... before we got it recorded, well, let me give you a little history on the wood knocks. about a month ago, I was gone working, and I came home, and my husband said that there was two really loud knocks. And I said, well, what did they sound like? And he said, you know, he tried to imitate it as best he could, but until you actually hear it, it's hard to explain how loud it is. But he said that my 7-year-old heard it, and my little one said, well, Dad, what was that? And we try to keep the kids out of it as much as possible because he's 7 and he will be frightened to think there's something out there. So my husband told my son that it was the neighbors. And my son said, oh, wood on wood, Dad, that's not the neighbors. Like, he even knew that there was...
Kids are smart.
Like, oh, get real. And so that happened about a month ago, and then... I'd say maybe a week ago, Will, I sent that to you. That night he came down and he said, we heard another knock. And I was downstairs with my older boys. The windows were closed. I didn't hear it. So I ran over and hit record again. What we usually do if we hear the animals acting up is I open a window, hit record, and kind of leave it in the windowsill. So I'm really glad that Milo was able to bring me over a recorder so I can get more captions. But... that night, when I heard that knock, I was just completely blown away at how loud and how close it was. I mean, it sounds like a gunshot going off in my backyard, but you can hear it when you're hearing it. My husband, the first two times he heard it, the times I heard it way back in 2012, you can like hear the wood cracking as it's hitting. So I know it wasn't a gunshot. I mean, I could tell that much.
Would you like to listen to that one, Will and Brandy? We can. Okay, let's give it a listen.
Yeah, that'd
hear
be
how
great.
That goes. Okay, so I know the original file was longer than that because there's a knock, there's a slap at the end. So what we'll need to do is put that in there. For some reason, that's not playing. Let's see. Okay.
I want to apologize also. On that recording, I was recording and my kids were talking to me. And like I said, I kind of just set the phone down. So I was, actually what had happened with that one is my husband was recording upstairs. I didn't know it. And I was talking while I was standing in the window. And then you hear over your copy there, you can't hear it as well as on mine, but you'll hear the coyotes yipping. Then I'm talking. And then you just hear a very loud, like, the initial hit, and then that echo is like, ch-ch-ch. So I can tell right away when you played it what it is, but I don't know if everybody else can because it's kind of muffled.
And we'll clean that up so that everyone will be able to hear it with greater fidelity. But it sounds almost, the after ricochet of a gunshot or the.
It's very loud, absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like the reverberation, you know, the sound waves, you know, coming off after, you know, the initial contact.
Right. And I wish that I would have had the recorder that Milo gave me then, because I know when I sent over the copy, I know it distorts it a bit, but my copy is really clear, if that helps anybody.
You know, one of the amazing things is you hear people, especially places like Facebook, you know, everybody talks all this stuff, and then of course the silly show Finding Bigfoot, where they talk about all this stuff and they really don't know what they're talking about. I mean, they, of course, their whole thing is they can go out, they think they're communicating with Sasquatches by banging on trees, and that's really not what's going on. These things utilize whether it's knocking or smacking on a tree, like in this case, or the clacking of rocks, or whatever sounds they're making, or even the vocals, it's communication between them in regards to whatever it is they're doing at the time, and it's usually surrounding hunting behavior or foraging. Something has to do with that, and obviously with them throwing rocks at you, there's some kind of there's an interaction that's beginning to happen there, for whatever reason. And of course, Milo investigating is going to be able to provide us enough information to sort of figure out why they would approach. And it's probably not just your home. It's probably the adjacent homes as well, where there's things going on. And like you said, when you first started, you didn't really pay attention to what was going on because there's animals out there, there's things that go on. And unless it's something that really grabs your attention, you tend to ignore it.
Yeah, and I did ignore it for a long time, and I bet there was probably stuff going on out there. But I do have a little bit of insight as to why they might be interested in my house. My house has a sunroom in the back of the house, which is just 10-foot windows. And I don't have curtains on any of those windows back there or in my kitchen. And the reason I don't is because it just butts up against that land. No neighbors can see in. So it's wide open back there. And then my yard, all the other neighbors have wood fences. I have a metal gate. So if something was watching or out there poking around, it's probably because my house is kind of wide open in a sense. You can see right in. I've got loud, noisy boys in here. And if it's true what they say, and they, they want to be entertained and they like kids, then they're probably getting an eyeful watching my house. But I didn't understand exactly why the coyotes were right behind my place. And I have a theory. Now, obviously, it's all theoretical, but they're so loud right behind my place, and there's some bedding areas. The grass and whatnot has grown up quite a bit back there, and I did find some bedding areas right behind my house. And I was talking to Milo, and I said, "Well, what do you think about maybe the Bigfoot are kind of herding the coyotes around this briar and hunting them, like if one stood at the end of it, and maybe it's an easy meal, and maybe the yelling or the wood knocking is to get them moving, get them scared, get them running through." Because I couldn't figure out why a coyote, I don't know what's bedding down right behind my place, obviously, but I haven't seen anything out there at night, but it is pretty dark. So if...
Have you and Milo tried taking pictures?
He came out yesterday
sites?
When he gave me the digital recorder, and he did take some pictures. And I told him to hurry up and get out here because the county's probably going to mow back there soon. And I mean, they're big, big, deep holes, the bedding areas. And I did actually see those last May after the bushes were doing all their rattling. I went out the next day to look around, stood up on a ladder and looked over, and there were huge bedding areas back there too last year. So something's definitely back there at night taking a nap or sitting and watching whatever's going on. There's something out there.
I can tell you from an investigation I did in Yakult, Washington back in 89 and 90, it wasn't uncommon for, we would hear the creatures come down off Yakult Mountain at night, usually again right around the same time you've been hearing things, that plus or minus an hour of sunset, and we would actually hear them vocalizing as they were coming down off the ridge into the lower valley, and in the valley it was all field grass, hay, and it was very common to find these big flat spots where they would, and we could hear them down there. I mean, it was so noisy some nights where they'd be running, we'd hear them running, it sounded like cattle or horses running down there. Of course, there were no livestock in that area, and these big spots that were 15 or 20 feet across, where they had rolled around and laid in the hay. And Rene DeHinnon also told me that he knew about these sorts of things happening for years. Occasionally people would report that. And he always told me, if you find these flat spots, you can examine where the grass is flattened down and you'll find hair, a lot of hair. Sometimes you have to use a magnifying glass when you look for hair, because just looking at it, you may not see it. But I found it on tree limbs and things like that where they'd rubbed up against them. So anyway, that's something you do. But, you know, in terms of coyotes, we do know they hunt coyotes. In fact, on South Hill, Puyallup, back in the mid-70s when the Puyallup Screamer events were going on, I met a Washington State trooper at that time by the name of Mark Pittinger, who had seen all three of the creatures that were there. I'd seen two of them not long before that time. But when he went in there, when he tracked the three of them one day, and he said he came upon a place where a bunch of coyotes had been killed, and he said what they were doing was they were imitating coyote sounds and drawing them in. Of course, when they got close enough where it was too late to run, the Sasquatches were snatching them up by their back legs and smashing their heads against alder trees, and they were eating them. So that's probably why they would be in that location if there's a lot of coyotes. And as far as them, you know, hunting and herding, things like, you know, the vocals, the wood on wood sounds and the clacking are techniques that we've seen in other cases where they're working a hunting pattern together. And actually, you know, they are actually hunting. In a lot like chimps do, where they go into a place, and they're using coordinated hunting behaviors together, and that's what those sounds usually are, is a way for them to coordinate where they are, and you know, they sort of already have a plan in place. There's actually a video on YouTube I watched about a group of chimps, and it looks like there's, you know, 15 or 20 chimps in a group, and they're all kind of standing around. And the alpha jumps up on his hands and slaps his back legs against a tree. And that's sort of, then they all go into motion. They all know exactly what to do. So, you know, these creatures are probably, and I'm certain, much more intelligent than chimps are. And probably that's exactly what they're doing. They're hunting the coyotes and any other wildlife that's in the area. So as long as they have a good food supply.
Well, I just have a quick question too, just to springboard on that, Will and Brandy. Brandy, do you have dogs yourself? I hear them in the background.
No, I don't have dogs. Those are my neighbor's dogs, a few of them. But what seems kind of weird to me sometimes too is that although there are some dogs right here in the neighborhood, they don't really bark a lot at all when this is going on. The dogs that you do hear, those are further, I think, across the street. But it seems like a lot of the dogs are quiet when all this is going on, and I don't know if they know what's going on and they're scared, or if they're, I don't know why, but we do have two dogs right next door, and I hardly ever hear them barking at anything back there.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was going to say, I had a very similar living situation, Brandy, at one time where we lived in a property that was kind of a a suburban kind of neighborhood area, but a bit out in the country. And the land that we had exactly as you described it. My neighbors had big, tall wooden fences, and we had a wrought iron fence that went right to that property. And we had the same situation with coyotes in the back. So we had them yipping in packs, and they would take down deer that would come down through there. So especially when they had yearlings and, you know, the deer had young, and you'd hear that kind of behavior. And as you described, most of the dogs were fairly quiet. You know, when they're yipping like that and they're in kind of a frenzy, the dogs were somewhat quiet. And the timing was about right too. It would happen, you know, later at night, and it could be really late in the middle of the night, 2-3 in the morning. What time was that, the first recording? There were two recordings. The first one was what time at night?
Now, I didn't keep a log, which I should have, but both of these recordings happened in the late evening. It wasn't in the middle of the night because my boys were still awake both times. Now, one of them was during spring break, so they were up a little bit later, but I'd say between 10 and 12. It wasn't really late, like at 3 or 4 a.m. But when I did forget to tell you guys also that a couple months back, I was standing up in my window, and it was like 3 a.m. Excuse me. I was standing up in my bathroom window just checking it out back there because, I mean, I do want to see what's making these noises. I do want to see one, but not. I'm kind of thinking that I don't. I can't undo it. I can't unsee it. So if I see a big scary monster out there, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it. I'm going to want to move, like, right away. But at any rate, I was standing out, kind of looking over the property, and a rock hit the window about 2 or 3 inches from where I was standing. It hit the window, and then it hit the sunroom glass down below, and I was shocked. I closed the window, and I recorded that also, and you can hear me say, okay, like, I'm out of here, and I stayed out of the window the rest of the night, but I just thought I'd add that in. I think I forgot to tell you guys that.
Have your neighbors reported anything to you, Brandy? Or have they said, gosh, you know, I've seen or heard this. What do you make of that?
No. One of my neighbors on one side of me, they go to bed fairly early. They're really quiet people. Actually, both of them are. They go to sleep. I mean, I don't see hardly any activity. Now, I'm not really close with my neighbors, but I don't see them up and moving around in their yards or out. You know, they're just quiet people. And so, and I haven't been interested in, you know, asking them because I don't want them to think I'm crazy. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that they've seen or heard anything only because they're both quiet neighbors. And the neighbors down the street, like, I'm not really very close to my neighbors, so I haven't brought it up to any of them.
Well, I can certainly understand that. I mean, you know, I think that's one of the biggest problems with the whole subject is, you know, people see and hear things, but the general impression is if you tell somebody, they're right. going to think you're crazy.
And, well, and I do have a neighbor about 4 houses down. They have a huge motion light, and I have seen them from time to time flashing like a big spotlight into the woods. So I'm curious. Yeah.
Really? Now that's interesting. That's not something you would
and
do
it's a
just
huge light
for
and
no
it
reason.
Lights up, and whenever they're doing that, at first I thought it was just a motion light, but then I actually saw the light moving around. When they do that, I kind of utilize their light, and I'm looking with them, like, "Oh, what do you see out there?" But
now, let me ask you, how often does this happen?
It was mainly last summer when I noticed them doing that. Like I say, when I look out the window, I kind of see the light moving around, but it would be around the time that the coyotes were kind of yipping and yapping and loud, but it would be like around 10 at night or 11, because I don't think anybody stays.
I mean, was it like just one day a week or a couple days a
maybe
week?
Maybe once
or,
a week, know, once every 2 weeks from what I saw, but it wasn't, I don't think most people stay up as late as I do, so I know it was, you know, earlier in the night, but it would probably be about once a week, or like I said, once every 2 weeks, I'd see that light moving around.
That's pretty interesting. Like I was mentioned earlier, I want to clarify too to anyone listening is we consider, you know, there's groups out there that make all these different classifications of encounters, and there's really only two. There's either a direct encounter with one of the creatures where somebody sees one. And everything else is sort of what I call a peripheral encounter, or situation where, in your case, we have all these different sounds and vocals going on, and some weird things with animals, and there's bedding, and rocks being thrown. Really, classic pieces of events where other people have said the same thing, and then actually saw the creatures doing these things in many cases. So. I want everybody to understand that this is what we're talking about, are basically peripheral encounters where there's things going on, but you have yet to actually see the creatures.
Yeah. And like I said, I used to want to see it. After the bushes last spring were moving like that, I was like really looking out the windows, really trying to, you know, see what was going on. And then as the years gone on this year, I've decided I don't even know if I want to see it, because from what I heard, it is so scary. And like I said, I can't unsee it once I've seen it. And I've got kids, and I don't actually let them really play outside in the backyard without me being out there anymore, just because I, you know, better safe than sorry. But I don't tell them that they can't go outside because there's a huge monster out there. But
no. But I'll tell you what, I do think that's a very prudent move, because these things, you know, and I hesitate to say this, but I think people should understand that. You know, wild creatures are, you know, especially predatory creatures or opportunistic feeders will oftentimes focus on, you know, sick, injured, old, and young of whatever creatures they might be interested in. Not necessarily that that's what this group is doing, because they tend to be a little bit different behaviorally depending on their experience and the age of the members in a group. So, but it could be, you know, that's the reason. I mean, do your neighbors have small children?
Or are you I'm the only family right here in this area that's got small kids, besides one other family. And I think that the other family that's got the small children, that's the guy that shines the spotlight in the woods, actually. But, and like I said, I think the sunroom windows being wide open, my boys are always downstairs. And I have an Amazon parrot that lives in that sunroom in a cage. And another reason something would probably be attracted, just the, and my bird yells all the time.
There you go.
I've got some recordings of my bird imitating a coyote. He thought the coyote, as it was howling, was saying hello, and my bird was saying hello back to it. It was pretty funny, but
it doesn't roar or anything, does it?
No, actually, he had one time. He said, my parrot said whoop, and I was like, oh, look at that. He's Bigfoot, but I can't say that for sure, obviously. But I was entertained.
You know, I want to refer back, you know, what you talked about. Seven, and how old are your boys, by chance? When we were doing the Yakult investigation, you know, back in that time, the family there had four children. And the two youngest boys, I think at the time, were either, the youngest one was two or three, I think 3 years old, and the other boy was 4 or 5. And they played out there. And of course, this was a very rural area, so, you know, the farms were spread out quite a bit from one another. But these creatures seemed to focus on mainly on this one farm. And the young boys, of course, didn't go into the pastures. They stayed in the yard. But we were there talking one time, and one of the boys said to one of my field investigators, he pointed to the pasture, and he said, "That's where we saw the big monkey and his boys." You know, and coming from a little kid like that, you know, it's not something that nobody said those words. Nobody said anything like that. They just came up with this stuff. And of course, we did find tracks of two young Sasquatches, and then we knew there were two.
Now, one time last summer, I heard a little kid yelling and saying, "Eddie, Eddie." And I had said to my husband, I said, "Oh, maybe one of the kids on the block, because that's our cat's name." And I said, maybe one of their, you know, her brother or somebody, his name is Eddie. And then it hit me, like, I mean, it could have been that. But I thought, well, maybe one of these animals was back there imitating, you know, my boys, my boy, my 7-year-old, he always yells outside for the cat. And he says, "Eddie, Eddie." And I heard, but I thought what was the little girl's voice. And, but I mean, putting all these pieces together, you never know. It could have been something mimicking. I have heard, my husband and I have heard a few muffled sounds, I thought, were my son downstairs on the Xbox. I said, "Well, why are you yelling at 2 a.m. at the video game?" And he's like, "I didn't say anything, just muffled yells." Yeah. Do you swear? And he's like, "No, I didn't." Because I thought, well, why are you downstairs screaming at the video game at 2 a.m. when your brothers have to get up for school? And he says he didn't say anything. So who knows? It could be that too. But that's why this recorder that Milo brought me is going to be very useful.
Absolutely. And I was talking to one of our members that's an active police officer earlier today for a couple hours. And Tom, you know who that is. You know, we talk about on the phone for a couple hours. But we were talking about, you know, Brandy's recordings and Jeremiah's new recordings that he got last night. And I don't know if he talked to you about those yet, but he was telling me that, you know, the police agencies have some very sophisticated systems they can run audio recordings through and tell a great deal from those recordings. So I'm going to talk to him about, you know, sending a couple of your recordings, you know, through the system and seeing what they can tell from those. And we'll do the same with Jeremiah's recordings. But, you know, everyone seems to focus on this subject, on footprints and things like that, when when really audio recordings are some of the best evidence, and you've really got a couple of really very unique ones. You know, the one where the creatures are hollering at the coyotes, and especially that second vocalization after they all shut up is really amazing. That's unlike anything I've ever heard in this topic. So, and then of course, you know, the people watch that silly TV show and they hear this bang, 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 and all this stuff on trees, and what you hear in your recording is absolutely nothing like that. It kind of shakes you to the core when you realize that something is hitting apparently a tree or something with that much force. And you can tell it's a great deal of force.
Yeah, absolutely. The wood knock, I don't even like to call it a wood knock because it just seems like it's so much more, I guess. I mean, it's just so...
It's a wood smash.
It's just unbelievable, especially when you hear it with your own ears. You're just kind of flabbergasted. What is that? It's like, I know what it is, but I don't really want to believe it. I think I've spent a lot of the last year kind of in denial. Like, well, you know, okay, that could have been something else, or that could have been something else. But a rock being thrown at me while I'm standing in the window upstairs, like hitting the glass, a rock hitting me in the backyard. I can't think of anything else that would be hitting me. And I don't understand how they have such good accuracy, but...
Brandy, with the rock that you said, real quickly, excuse me for the interruption, because I was curious about this the first time around. What you said, they were almost like pebbles. Did you actually see them once they hit you?
Well, unfortunately, I have a rock garden in the back around.
Okay.
So there's rocks everywhere. So whatever hit me, I couldn't even say which rock it was. Now I did find a rock that was probably the size of a baseball. I found that on my back patio because I've heard quite a few different noises hitting the house. One night my husband was laying in bed and he had his hand on the wall, and we heard something hit the house, and he actually felt the vibration through the wall. And my husband is one that will say, oh no, it could have been something else. Like, he will not jump to conclusions. So that time he kind of was like, well, that's really weird. And then one time I was sitting in my sunroom talking to my bird, which I can't do that at night anymore. I'm too freaked out. And something hit the window. It was a large, not a rock sound, but more like a thud. And now I won't go out there at night because it's just, you know, 10 huge panels of glass. It's too scary. But the rocks, they were small rocks. I didn't get hurt by the first one that hit me. And then the second one, I could tell it was small because when it hit the window next to me and it hit the sunroom, I didn't see a rock on the glass, but it could have bounced off. But it had to have been small, because if not, I'm sure it would have broke the window.
Yeah.
Because it hit it pretty hard. I mean, it was a loud hit.
Let me ask you, on the side of the house, we'll start with that one. Is there anything close to the house in terms of like a tree? Let's just play devil's advocate for a minute. Is there anything close, let's say a tree limb or something that could have fallen off a tree that could have hit the house?
No, we have one cherry tree in my neighbor's yard that they actually got rid of before the noises were hitting the house. There are no trees in the backyard or even on the side of the house. We've got, you know, a couple of maples in front, but the only trees out back are the ones that are on the county property. So I had thought about that also, because I do like to rule out other things before I assume it's one of these creatures. Like, I thought, well, maybe is there any other kind of animal that could hit up against the house to make you feel a vibration? I just don't know. But that's why I think I was kind of in denial for a while, hoping that it wasn't one of these creatures, because, I mean, that's scary. My boys live here. It is scary to me. I don't take it lightly, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's exactly the right way to look at things. You know, you want to rule any other possibility out. Now, where the noise was on the house that you and your husband heard, you didn't inspect the side of the house.
I don't see like any scratches on the house or anything like that. And I have, you know, quite a few times gone out and tried to see if I can see any evidence on the ground, any footprints, any just disruptions. The only thing that we've never had any footprints in the grass, because it is grass. And then I've got a garden running along the back, but last year I put out some dirt and I raked it smooth, and I was trying to set up like a Bigfoot trap, you know, but that didn't work. I couldn't see anything in there. But one really weird thing that did happen, now that I think about it, is I haven't even told anybody this. I kind of completely forgot. My shed did get torn up one night. I have shelves with all kind of flower pots and, you know, just a shed full of stuff. And that was, the shelves were knocked over, everything off the shelf. And there was a bunch of rocks in the shed on top of my lawnmower, like 15 or 20 rocks just sitting like on the lawnmower, around the lawnmower. Now, I don't know what that was. If I don't know how 15 or 20 or 30 rocks could get put in my shed, but this is really actually the first time I'm even thinking about it. But the shed did get torn apart, and my husband and I said, well, maybe a raccoon got in there, or a possum. So I can't say anything for sure on that either. But as far as really, I haven't done, you know, walking around trying to do visual inspections, and I don't see anything that's like, you know, super weird, except for the shed getting torn up and 30 rocks in there, but not right in the, like, the grass outside the windows. I can't get anything from that.
I have a couple of questions about the shed. Now, as far as accessibility, does the shed have a door?
It's just one of those sheds you buy at Home Depot, and it's got two plastic doors that open up, and it was open. We always usually just kind of leave it open, but I don't know exactly, like, I don't even know exactly how that happened without me hearing it, really, because my bedroom window's right out there, so I don't know really even when it happened. I just know my husband went out there and said the shed's torn up, and I went and looked, and the rocks is what really weirded me out. So there were rocks all over.
And how...
They were, like, out of my rock garden. Just, like, river rocks. And in the front of my house, I have... it's all hardscape with river rocks, little round river rocks.
So a couple inches across, or, you know, three or 4 inches across?
2 inches, an inch. Just their little round flat rocks.
Okay. So that's interesting. I'm not sure what to make of that. I mean, I'd be a little beside myself, I think, if my shed were tore up one morning. You know, like you said, as these events, you start piecing them together, and that's a lot of times what happens when these situations really begin or start ramping up. You know, it'll be a lot of very small events that'll happen, and over time, and we know enough because we know how to we have enough information to compare what's happening with you to other situations where people have had identical things happen. So we can pretty well gauge what we think is there. I mean, and in many cases, it's pretty obvious that it's not normal animals. So now, of course, in the absence of proof that it's a Sasquatch, we can't say that it is for sure. But because we have other circumstances that have happened in nearly identical fashion to yours, where people have seen the creatures doing these things or making the vocals,
right,
or what have you.
The recordings I got, when I listen to them, now I'm not an expert, I don't know everything there is to know about anything, but when I hear the yell and when I hear that wood smash, like, to me, I just don't understand. I don't see how a person could do, like, make that vocalization. Like, if there was a person that broke into the land back there, and could they yell that loud, and why would they be out there running around with coyotes? Like, it just, there's just a couple of things that, to me, rule out anything else, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, the vocal where the coyotes are going, and then they're quiet, and then you hear that loud vocal. It sounds like, and my first impression was it almost sounded like a person yelling. But you can't really say that it is. I mean, and one thing when I discussed some of this with our anthropologist friend Mark Dobbs, Mark is a forensic anthropologist, we talked about vocals, and he says, you know, because these things are a primate and very likely or very possibly a hominid like we are, it may be possible their vocalizations at times might sound very similar to ours, because they would sort of be on the same, not human, but the same basic framework, if you will, that we are. So it's a fascinating vocal, that's for sure.
It is. Like, along with all the other stuff that's going on, like, some people might be, you know, scratching their head like, well, duh, of course that's what it is. But when you're living in it, you kind of want you kind of don't want it to, when it's living in your backyard, you really don't want it to be there. Like all these people going out into the woods, that's one thing, and looking for it. Oh, it's so interesting until it's in your backyard and you've got children and all these windows in the back. I think it wouldn't take anything for a creature to smash right through them. It's not that fun when they're in your backyard.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point. It's, you know, part of you wants to see one, but then do you really want to see one? Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I know myself, my personal account, from having seen them at a very close distance, it's not something that I would have ever planned for. And if I could undo it, I probably would. Because it really changed my outlook on going into the outdoors. I used to love to fish and hunt and do all those things. And now whenever I enter a forested area, you know, part of my mind is always on high alert.
Oh, no, I totally understand where you're coming from on that, because even though I've never seen one, just knowing that they exist, when I take my kids camping, I used to go out and do a lot of, like, primitive camping without electricity and go out into the woods. And now I do, like, concrete camping at RV parks, and I make sure that they're very busy. And even with that being said, I know that they could still come into these areas, but I feel differently about the forest, absolutely. And I used to love to go out and take my kids out into the woods and hike. And now if I do go do any hiking, which I haven't been at all lately because I'm pretty freaked out about these creatures, but I want to go with adults that have big guns. Like, I don't want to just, I don't want to, I don't know. I'm pretty freaked out about it all, actually.
Well, you definitely want to go with other people. I'd never recommend anybody going alone. It's not just because of these things, but because there are other animals, there's other wildlife. And even if you were to trip and break an ankle or something, you know, I mean, there's complications. There's so many things that could happen that could really turn out badly. So,
no,
Brandon,
I just
do you have anything else you want to bring up?
Brandon, I'd have to applaud you for, you know, seeking Will's counsel and then also being really diligent about recording sounds. You've done a great job, I think, of being observant and not just blowing it off, but very kind of carefully thinking about what could possibly be going on and then trying to capture and note that. So kudos to you.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I think if more people had done over the years what Brandy is doing currently, we'd be many, many years ahead on this subject and possibly even have resolved it by now. So you're a rare gem in all this,
thank
Brandy.
You.
So keep
thank
up the
you
good
very
work.
Much. And I'm going to keep recording. So I would say hopefully I'll have more for you, but actually I kind of hope that they go away and find somebody else.
Well, we'll see how the investigation progresses and what unfolds. And, you know, if there's
all
more
righty,
that happens,
well, thanks,
we'll
guys.
Have you back on.
Nice meeting you, Brandy. Take care.
You too. I'll talk to you later, Will. All righty. Bye.
All right. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone, for joining me this week. Be sure to tune in again next week as we explore another account from a witness of the unknown.